You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Well, we got a Game 7 coming up tomorrow. MLB At The Plate, Holden Kushner, J.P. Arencibia, Justin Verlander, the living legend doing Justin Verlander things tonight, JP. 7 shutout innings of 5-hit baseball. He walked 1. He struck out 8. He has been the most valuable player in this series to this point, but there's still another game to be played. That was a heck of a baseball game through 7 innings before it got busted open in the bottom of the 8th.
Yep. I love the series, and I love that it's going to be a Game 7. And there's a few things that I think about. I think about, obviously, this is what you grow up for. This is what you want. CeCe Sabathia, obviously, has been insane. And I think that this could really solidify him as a Hall of Fame pitcher. I mean, he's already got all the things that you need, but this could help him out some more. And then, on the other hand, I look at it as the Dodgers right now are kicking back. They have umbrella drinks, and they are just hoping that these dudes beat the snot out of each other so that when they come to play in L.A. that they're worn out.
Well, let's first talk about Verlander tonight. The 7 shutout innings, 8 more strikeouts. This piggybacks what he did with a complete game, giving up a run and striking out 13. So in 16 innings, he struck out 21, and he's given up 1 run to this point. Why was he so spectacular tonight?
It's just the same as every other time that he toes the rubber in the playoffs. It's when you're throwing 94 or 97, you got a curveball and a slider and a changeup with good location. It's tough for anybody to hit. I mean, that's the truth. And if you think about it, it's almost like his competitiveness is like stepped up. He smells that he has an opportunity to help teams out, and that's helped the team win. And he's done it. I mean, again, he's just really, really done a good job. I think he's learned in this era of how you can utilize your fastball on the upper part of the quadrant, how good that is to be able to, set up your off speeds. And I think that's made him better. And Houston is an analytical team, which I'm sure has been able to help him with that as well.
Yeah, JP, I go back to that at-bat with Aaron Hicks at the plate. It was, in the 7th inning, top of the 7th inning? Had a couple men on, and it was just a battle. And final, 10-pitch at-bat? Threw him a breaking ball, and Hicks just swung right over it after a long, long at-bat with a lot of fastballs. That, to me, was where Verlander just shut it down. It was really that at-bat. He still had to get a couple outs that inning, but he battled through the 7th. I actually thought he should have come out in the 8th inning, but luckily for the Astros, Peacock gave up just a home run to Judge, and then the Astros added 4 more in the bottom of the 8th. But this is all about Justin Verlander tonight. But tomorrow, they're not going to have Justin Verlander. So, Game 7, who do you like in Game 7 right now?
Honestly, for me, I think, like I said earlier, too, it's Houston has the upper hand in the sense of if they can go out there and score some runs, they don't have to worry about going to their bullpen. If I'm AJ Hinch, I ain't using my bullpen. I'm throwing Morton out there. You might see Keuchel out there. I'm throwing all my starters are going to be my bullpen guys. You got McHugh out there. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get those guys out there, and you may not see. And listen, Giles, was able to go out there and finish the game, not without letting some guys on base, which, again, you can't have in a one-run game or a tie game. But if it's me, as of right now, I'm saying Houston has the upper hand. They're playing at home. They're going to have their starters are all out there. There's no tomorrow. And the little man – I don't want to toot my horn, but I'm going to toot it real quick and say, like, hey, I told you, Correa and Altuve have to get going for these guys to win. And obviously, Altuve had a phenomenal game today and Correa as well.
Well, let's just get to the home field advantage in this series. And the ultimate home field advantage series was the 1987 World Series. The Twins won the first 2 at home. St. Louis took 3 in their backyard, and then the Twins went back, and they won the last 2 games in Minneapolis. It was remarkable. And this just has a sense of home field advantage mattering so much to both these teams. We heard the Astros players actually admit that the Yankee fans had gotten to them. Well, now they're in their own backyard. It seems to me that they're a lot more comfortable at the plate hitting at home. They got a really raucous crowd behind them, although there are a lot of Yankees fans. They got the lid closed on Minute Maid Park, so it makes it even louder. And home field advantage has had a big, big decided advantage so far through the first six games.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy the way it has worked out, because it's, you know, you don't think that would be a quote-unquote advantage. You know, obviously there's the saying, the home field advantage, but you kind of take it with a grain of salt. This is a legit series that it has been nothing but a home field advantage. And, you know, again, tomorrow, I'm just super excited to see, you know, who steps up in game seven, because Verlander, what Verlander's been to Houston, I feel like CeCe has been to New York. So that's another thing, is this guy, listen, if there's somebody on that field that has the experience, by far more experience than anybody other than Beltran in between those both teams, it's CeCe Sabathia. And I'll tell you, somebody who ain't going to be scared about any kind of crowd, and that's CeCe Sabathia.
Well, yeah, Sabathia against McCullers, McHugh, and Keuchel is what I'm thinking right now. And A.J. Hinch going to have to, you know, make up who he's going to throw out there. And maybe Davinsky has to go. But the Yankees are now going to play in their third winner-take-all game here in the playoffs. They had the wild card game. They beat the Twins. They had game five against the Indians, and now game seven here. So I will not count the Yankees out whatsoever, especially with Sabathia on the mound. But we'll go back again tonight where the offense was just stymied by Justin Verlander. But, you know, the good news is Aaron Judge with a home run. Yeah, he struck out a couple of times, but he got off the schneid on the road with a home run there. I really cannot take anything away from the Yankees offense just because they went up against Verlander. You're just not going to see that again. You will see nothing like that again in this round. Obviously, there's only one game. We may not see anything like that even in a World Series. Just what this guy has done to this point, and whoever does do, if somebody does do this in a World Series, if Verlander does that two, maybe three times in a World Series, then he's going to be the MVP. But I take nothing, I learned nothing about the Yankees offense tonight, because Verlander was just going to dominate anybody that stepped in the box against him. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, Verlander is in a different level right now. The way he's throwing the ball, you know, how good it's been going for him. It just, some guys get in that zone. And I mean, if I wish that he didn't you know, throw all the pitches that he threw tonight, in the sense, because you'd want him, as if you're a team, and I bet you he's going to say it, but there's no chance that he does it. He's going to say, hey, if you need me for one or two, I may be able to give you one or two, which would be insane. But again, I just look at it, for me, Verlander is pitching on all cylinders right now. He's throwing all different pitches for strikes. He's ahead in the count. He's putting guys away. But this, again, for me, what's scary is the same way Verlander has been to this Houston Astros team and the way he's pitched, CeCe's matched him. And that's the one thing that scares me, in the sense of CeCe has gone out there and been lights out for the New York Yankees. This is a guy who obviously is at towards the end of his career, and this could be a huge. He wants the ball, and this is where he wants to go out there, and I promise you that he's pitching with a chip on his shoulder for everybody that has kind of doubted him the last few years.
Well, both of these guys, well, tonight, Verlander, how many people were saying he was washed up last year and then he turned it on and should have won the Cy Young? How many people even 3 months ago were saying Justin Verlander was washed up? You know, people seem to forget very quickly what they were saying about Verlander. Verlander has now turned into the best pitcher that we've seen in the playoffs. But back in July, wasn't everybody saying how this guy's career was over again? He's never going to be the same pitcher. And tonight what we saw was a living legend. And he's throwing as well as we have ever seen Justin Verlander. He's not throwing 100-101. He's throwing 95-96, but he's just pitching better than he was when he was throwing 100-101. It really is a pleasure to watch him pitch. So if we look to Game 7, Sabathia will be out there. My question is, how much will the Astros have to use their bullpen? And I'm not talking about McCullers and McHugh and Keuchel. I'm talking about Davinsky and the other guys who have not stepped up here in the playoffs. And you know that Chapman's going to be available for, what, six outs tomorrow?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even matter with how deep. If you have Canley, Robertson, you have all these guys in that bullpen, and Chapman for two, I mean, I'm not even worried about the Yankees. It doesn't even – for me, it's not even a debate or a question of what they can or can't do. It comes down to, like you said, the question of the Houston Astros. If they get in trouble, if McCullers gets in trouble early, who do they go to? If it's a one-run game in the seventh, who do they go to? That's the questions, and that's where A.J. Hinch tomorrow is going to make his money and his legacy as the manager for the Houston Astros, because it's going to be on his shoulders on the decisions that are being made in the sense of who's going out there. Who am I going to throw? Are we going to use – because I promise you one thing, if he's got somebody about, you know, out there ready to go in a Morton or a Keuchel who may, you know, want to at least be in the bullpen, if they have those guys ready and they go to another arm and they lose because of that, you'll never hear the end of it. So that's the one thing I'm unsure of. And the one – and another thing is I'm kind of glad that Peacock threw today and he gave up a home run, in the sense of – it's twice that he's gone out there and he's given up a home run on back-to-back outings. And so for me, at least, you know, if I'm the manager, it makes my decision easier to go, he threw yesterday, we're not, unless it's a dire need, it's not somebody that we're going to go to tomorrow. Because, again, even though he had a great year, he hasn't had good outings out of the pen back-to-back.
Well, Gregerson, too. I mean, Gregerson's just been a no-show. So, yeah, A.J. Hinch, very limited amount of arms that he would really feel comfortable using tomorrow. But tonight, you talk about a great pitching duel, Severino, Justin Verlander, and there was a lot of tension in that place in Houston. Brian McCann came to the plate, scoreless game, bottom of the fifth inning, and men were on.
And that's drilled down the right field line. Judge on the move. He won't get there. And that hops into the seats. A ground rule double. That'll score Bregman. Gattis goes to third. And the Astros take a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, that really, that a lot of pressure came off of the Astros. It seemed like the crowd got really into it then. And it was Brian McCann who had been in a massive funk. But you know, you keep running him out there. 2-for-4, had the RBI tonight. Altuve had a couple hits. Correa had a couple of hits. And Bregman drove in a pair. So that's what you look at with this offense. I'm not expecting to score 7 runs tomorrow night against CC Sabathia, but that's the recipe for them winning. You know, they've outslugged teams all season long. And I think that tomorrow you're probably going to have to put up 4 or 5 runs to win this ball game. I would not expect the number of pitchers that they're going to have to use in all likelihood to be able to quell this Yankees offense like they did tonight with that Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I mean, again, Verlander, man, gosh, he's been – it's crazy. I'm looking at his stats right now. He's 4-1 in elimination games with a 1-2-1 ERA. I mean, how clutch is that? How huge is that in his career? And like you said, for somebody who's been, you know, I don't look at Verlander the same way I look at CeCe, as in the sense of CeCe Sabathia. Remember, he was coming into camp looking, he was 87, 88. Verlander at least had his velocity there for, you know, the most part. He was just kind of getting hit a little bit. But, I mean, again, what a phenomenal job. And you're talking about a guy who is literally setting himself up for maybe even another big contract, the way he's pitching. And he's if they go to the World Series and he keeps on doing what he's doing, I mean, I think the best postseason pitcher is Madison Bumgarner, in my eyes, is in the sense of what I've seen. Obviously, history, it's tough to talk about a Madison Bumgarner and to say that anybody's done what he's done that I've seen, but Verlander can be in that conversation if he keeps on doing what he's doing and if he has an opportunity to pitch in the World Series.
Oh, I think he's already a Hall of Famer. No,
Hall of Famer for sure, but I'm just saying, as far as what Bumgarner did with the Giants, I don't think anybody has, for me that I've seen, I don't think anybody has matched that performance.
Yeah, as far as current pitchers go, there's no doubt about it. I think John Lester had some monster playoff outings. I think you go before that, Schilling. I think Schilling, then it was Lester, and then Lester. Now it's Madison Bumgarner, and we'll see if Verlander takes the mantle. I don't know how many more times he's going to have the opportunity to do this, and I think he's going to have to do it in the World Series too. But, man, this was something special tonight, and you had Roger Clemens sitting right behind home plate, and right behind him was Craig Biggio. And Clemens was sitting in Nolan Ryan's seats. So Verlander grew up idolizing Nolan Ryan. You got Roger Clemens sitting right there. Just these legends are watching a legend pitch. It was a lot of fun tonight. That was a great baseball game. I'm all jacked up. I'm excited. We're going to go out to Houston next, catch up with our buddy Jeff Blum. Blummer was at the game tonight, and we'll get his thoughts on the Astros forcing a Game 7, which will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. This is MLB at the Plate.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
All right, so Jeff Blum, our buddy, joins us again. He's live in Houston. MLB at the Plate, Holden Kushner, J.P. Arencibia. Blummer, before we get to the recap of this one, A.J. Hinch just announced Charlie Morton is going to start Game 7 tomorrow. I want to get your thoughts on Morton starting Game 7 and how you feel about that.
Good to be back with you guys. That was a pretty good game, and I just saw that same thing, Charlie Morton going for that Game 7. It's interesting to me. I thought that just looking back and seeing Lance McCullers come out of that start prematurely, I felt, in that situation, may have been setting him up to be able to be the Game 7 starter. But now Charlie Morton being tabbed, he's a veteran. He's got great stuff. I'm truly hoping to see Brian McCann behind home plate working with Charlie Morton, because I think that's a good matchup. I don't think it went very well with Evan Gattis last time out there, but an interesting choice. He's got the stuff, but you know as well as I do that it's going to be a lot of guys in that bullpen backing him up. So it's just a matter of how well Charlie Morton does to start out. He's got the great fastball, 95-plus, with running in on the hands of right-handed hitters to get him off the plate, and then he's got a great breaking ball to put guys away.
Talk about, you know, A.J. Hinch. I feel like the hardest decision tomorrow, and I'm sure he's going to lose sleep about it over the night, is if he gets to the seventh inning, let's say Morton gets to the seventh inning and has a great game, sixth inning, whatever it is, I feel like he has to go with his starters all the way out. And listen, I know Giles went out there today and had a good inning, still had a couple guys on base, but I feel like the best thing to do would be able to have those starters go out there and finish that game out. What do you think?
You know what? I've got to be honest. I'm with you a little bit. Having watched these guys throughout the course of the season, there have been particular spots where the Will Harris's, the Luke Gregersons, Chris Davinsky, Joe Musgrove, these guys have been very good in situations. But to be brutally honest, and I think what you're hinting at is that they haven't been good in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, it's what have you done for me lately? And those guys haven't gotten it done. And I think that's why I believe, just like JP, that they will have those starters and some of those guys that have been more reliable in some clutch situations to have them ready to go out of the bullpen. I think even Brad Peacock, with the inning he had, yes, he gave up the home run to Aaron Judge, but still has good enough stuff to get guys out, and he's pitched on back-to-back days earlier in the season, so he's accustomed to that. Lance McCullers, I'm sure if you asked him, he'd be willing to give you an inning, if not two. Dallas Keuchel, if you needed to get an inning out of him, I'm sure that he would say yes. And I wouldn't be shocked if Justin Verlander showed up tomorrow and said, hey, if you need to get an out, I'm there.
That's exactly what I told Holden earlier. I said he might be knocking on the door of Hinch and saying, I'll be ready to go. How many innings? Because the one thing for me that stands out, how many innings do you think Keuchel would be able to give? Because I'm looking at it as, man, if my situation, and this is me, obviously, and you've got to see these guys all the time, but if Morton goes seven and Keuchel can go out there and at least give me – Morton goes six and Keuchel can go out there and give me two, and honestly, going off of the way he goes those two, I may have him finish the game. Do you think that's a possibility?
You know what? I actually thought that tonight with Brad Peacock. It's unfortunate he gave up that home run to Aaron Judge, but I thought considering the situation, there might be an opportunity. If he wiped through that that inning that he did have, there would be an opportunity for him to come back out. So I'm with you in the sense that if it matches up good enough for A.J. Hinch with some of those guys in that order, you know, maybe it's a bottom third of the order, and then you have the opportunity to have Keuchel face a left-handed hitter in Gardner and match up against Aaron Judge. You know, that might be a plausible idea to have him be able to go out there. And even if you don't have him go a full two innings, if he's able to get Gardner out to lead off the, you know, the top of the eighth, then you can go match up from there and see if you can get a power right-hander to get a guy like Aaron Judge out. So I think that you might be onto something there with AJ and some of the thinking that he has.
All right, since you're there, Blummer, want to get your thoughts on the crowd tonight. First of all, when McCann puts the he breaks up the scoreless game, he gets them on the board. How much pressure did that seem to take off the fan base? Because it sounded like they were a little tense there at the beginning of the game.
Oh, it was incredibly tense. Every fan in that ballpark knew the situation and understood it. And I think they also understood that Justin Verlander was his typical Justin Verlander self. But maybe not for the casual fan, for me sitting there and watching Luis Severino get comfortable and have that no-hitter going as long as he did, I was a little bit concerned, and I think these guys were sensing that in the stands also, because you saw Luis Severino pumping 97 to 99 miles an hour, but you also saw the Astro hitters chasing that slider down, and Severino, to his credit, did a very good job of working that slider down in the zone, knowing that if he elevated it and made a mistake up out over the zone, it was going to get hammered, and he didn't make too many mistakes until that pitch to McCann.
All right, and then the other side of things would be, you saw Verlander tonight, and I know you had a little different angle, but come on, give me the scouting report on what you saw. We all know what we saw, but how about a guy that has been in a World Series telling us exactly how great Verlander was?
I am glad that I was sitting in a seat, because watching what Justin Verlander was going out there and doing was absolutely remarkable. I saw a stat after the game that he has thrown 24 scoreless innings in elimination games. So if you want to have an idea of what a big game pitcher is, it is Justin Verlander. The ability to shut down guys in playoff situations, not only playoff situations, but elimination game type situations, speaks volumes for the type of stuff that Justin Verlander has, the mentality he has, but absolutely the overwhelming heart that this guy has to go out there and execute what he did tonight.
Did you get to see Cade Upton?
Always.
No. My serious question is, though, for CC Sabathia and what Verlander has been to the Astros, I feel like, in the playoffs, CC Sabathia has been to the Yankees. Obviously, this could be a storybook to already an amazing career. What do the Houston Astros have to do to make their adjustments to what CC Sabathia did to them last time out?
I agree with you in the sense that it can be storybook for CC Sabathia, and there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. The career's winding down. He has a chance to back up the start that he had in New York. So he's got good momentum coming into this game. The Astros' approach to him has to be elevate, because we've seen the Yankees pitchers do a very good job of off speed down in the zone and create the swing and miss from the Houston Astros. We really haven't seen all year long. All year long, we've seen the Astros really do a good job of laying off speed and spin down in the zone. And in doing so, they've forced the pitchers back in the zone. But CC didn't have to do that. He had a great slider, worked the fastball occasionally. It's almost as if he used his off-speed stuff to set up the fastball to sneak it by him, and he did a great job at it. But it's now the challenge is for the Astros to make that adjustment to what CC was doing last time And then on the other side, the challenge is for CeCe, if he does recognize that the Astros have made the adjustment to that, where does he go next? He's got to have a plan B with the stuff that he has against this lineup. That'll be the fun part for me to watch in seeing these guys match up again, because we have the chance tonight to see Verlander pitch extremely well against this lineup. Earlier in the series, he backed it up again tonight.
All right, Plummer, take care of yourself. Game 7 should be a lot of fun, and we'll be watching, and you'll be there, and you take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on again.
No, I appreciate it. You guys have fun tonight.
All right, very good. Jeff Blum joining us live from Houston, where the Astros have forced a Game 7. 7-1 over the Yankees. Altuve went deep. McCann had a big base hit to break up the scoreless tie, and, of course, Justin Verlander with 7 magnificent innings of shutout baseball tonight. Absolutely brilliant. We'll get you our best day ever home run tracker, statistically speaking. We'll hear from AJ Hinch, the manager of the Astros. He's JP Arencibia. I'm Holden Kushner, and I want to remind you that, like Justin Verlander, big league pitchers have a lot of options when it comes to staying in control on the mound. But when it comes to you and business travel, it's only one true choice for total control. That's National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car on the aisle, and go. You can even pick a full size or above. You'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take them out for your next business trip, take control, go with National, and be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control, go with National Car Rental, go National, go like a pro.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Verlander's our pitcher, 7 shutout innings, 8 Ks, and how about that filthy, filthy breaking ball he threw to Todd Frazier, which just, he froze the Todd father. But to Frazier's credit, he came back, almost hit a home run, his next at bat up. But boy, was that something nasty where Frazier just had no idea what to do. He bent back, he went forward, and just swung his bat and said, all right, took a seat for a second. How about our hitter? Who's our hitter tonight?
Yeah, you got to tip your hat sometimes as a hitter, by the way, because that's just filthy stuff by Verlander. My hitter, I'm going to go with, obviously, Jose Altuve. This guy is the heartbeat. He's the mini heartbeat of the team, but this guy is unbelievable, such an absolute star. I hope that he wins the MVP. He went 2-for-4 today with 1 run scored, 3 RBIs, and he hit a home run. But his single, his 2-run single, was such a huge part to give him a little bit of cushion to make it a 3-0 lead. So, I mean, this guy is just a very, very, very special player, man, and it is fun to watch.
2 home runs hit. Let's track them both.
MLB at the Plate home run tracker.
The MVP candidates both hit him. Your boy Altuve, 353 feet, 93 off the bat. Doesn't matter. Counts the same as Aaron Judge, who hit 112 exit velocity, 425 and 36 degree launch angle. That was an absolute majestic blast. But Altuve and the Astros get the win tonight. Let's look deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking,
Justin Verlander joining John Smoltz is the only pitchers to make 3 scoreless starts when facing elimination in Major League Baseball postseason history. Verlander is also the first Astro and 21st pitcher overall to win 4 games in a single postseason. Before the Astros had never won a home playoff game when they were facing elimination. They're now 1-5. I did not know that. What I did know is they lost Game 6 to the Mets in 1986, and then, of course, the Cardinals and Pujols went out there and took care of business. So, all right, so that makes a little bit of sense. And then Aaron Judge has struck out 26 times these playoffs, tied with Alfonso Soriano back in 2003 for the most by a player in a single postseason. All right, let's get to the fallout from Game 6 and looking forward to Game 7 with Astros manager A.J. Hinch at the podium.
Verlander kind of emptying the tank there in the 7th. Was it clear to you that he was done at that point, 99 pitches? And what made Peacock the right choice there for the
A's? Well, you know, with Verlander, obviously I always talk to our pitchers along the way and see how they're feeling. And he was cruising early. And then the last couple innings, it looked like he was spending a lot of energy out there trying to make pitches in the 7th. You know, he sprayed the ball around a little bit. He had some walks. He hit Castro in the elbow. He just didn't look like he was making pitches, and then those last pitches were pretty high stress. That was incredible play by George in center field, and for Verlander to come back and get the last out, I just felt like that was enough. I wasn't going to have him give him a long leash going into the 8th, so I felt like it was better to pull him in between innings. I took it out of his hands. It's not, it's, you know, for us, Peacock was, you know, he can really spin the ball, and we were at the time, place of the order where we liked that attack. I didn't love the Judge homer, but I haven't loved any of Judge's homers this series, and he's obviously got a good pitch to hit, but I just trusted Brad's calm demeanor and his ability to have that fastball that carried a little bit and the good break on the slider.
In the back row, Buster.
Hey, Jay, off the bat, you mentioned the seventh inning, Todd Frazier hitting that ball. What did you think?
I thought, holy hell, that ball's going to leave in the yard. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was out. You know, the ball, that's the deepest part of the yard, and I've seen a lot of balls carry. And I also have seen him hit like one-handed or one-arm swings this series and have the ball carry out of the ballpark. So I did think it was out. And then as I picked up Springer in center, he was tracking the ball. And usually outfielders are the first key that will tell you whether or not the ball's leaving the yard. So as he stayed on the play, I thought he was either desperate or you know, or was tracking it down, and when he jumped and made the play, there was, you know, the huge roar and big momentum play.
All right, so that's AJ Hinch after the Astros win it 7-1 over the Yankees. Holden Kushner, JP here in CBS. JP, let's look forward to Game 7 now, as we got the starting pitchers, CC Sabathia, Charlie Morton. We've seen Sabathia. You know, he's been a great pitcher throughout his career. He is on the back end of his career, but it seems as though he's had a renaissance here in 2017. Game 5, he left early, but he pitched well, only gave up a couple runs. What do you expect to see from CC Sabathia in Game 7?
I expect CC to go out there and continue to do what he's been doing. And like Blummer said, the biggest thing is when you go into game, the first inning will tell you what kind of approach that the Houston Astros will have. And he'll see, did they make an adjustment to me? Are they doing something different than usual? Okay, now I have to adjust. So we're going to see, to me, tomorrow between the two starters, whoever can adjust to what the lineup is bringing out tomorrow to combat what they did the first time against them, that's who's going to be the more successful starter.
That's it for the MLB at the Plate playoff podcast. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and JP here in CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.